Thank you for visiting New Song Community Church on the web at newsongpdx.com. We pray that you will be blessed by listening to the message today. You are welcome to celebrate with us in worship and the Word every Sunday at 10 a.m. We are located on the corner of Russell Street at 2511 Northeast Martin Luther King Jr. Boulevard in Portland, Oregon.
That is a beautiful way to launch into the Christmas season. If you're not standing with us, we're going to go into the Word of God. And actually, today I'm going to talk about the grace of giving, because that's what Christmas is all about. And we're going to go into Matthew chapter 21, kind of an interesting scripture we'll start off with, and then we'll go Acts chapter 20, just one verse there. So you'll find the responding verses on the screen behind me. This is how it starts off. Now in the morning, as he returned to the city, he was hungry. Doesn't that sound Christmassy? How about it? Let me get it. And when the disciples saw it, they marveled, saying, "How did the fig tree wither away so soon?" And whatever things you ask in prayer, believing, you will receive. Now we're going to go to Acts chapter 20, verse 35, and read this verse together. Here we go. Words of Jesus said, "It's more blessed to give than to receive." Amen? Amen. Let's pray. Father, today we're going to start on a journey just for a couple of weeks, and we're going to talk about giving. And Lord, it's so appropriate because at this time of season, there's so many things that we look at and we try to figure out how can we give, how can we respond to it. It's not just to family and friends, but those people are really in need. And God, I pray today that we will capture the grace of giving. We'll capture what you're trying to explain to us, that it's more blessed to give than to receive. And Lord, somehow through the preaching of your word, somehow that will be accomplished. Lord, thank you for bringing us here together, and we thank you for what we're about to learn. We give all glory and grace to you in Jesus' name. Everybody set?
Amen.
You may be seated. Now, it might seem a little bit intriguing to you, but the story of Jesus and his encounter with a fig tree would create a struggle in the mind of most people to try to draw a parallel between that and the grace of giving. Even so, if we look at the incident, it appears that Jesus wielded his power and authority on a tree because of his frustration driven by his natural hunger. However, upon closer examination, we might not be so quick to judge if we consider the circumstances that prevailed. The tree gave every indication there was fruit present, but none could be found. I got some questions for you, and I hope that they'll really go deep into your spirit, because as we just kind of even approach this time of giving and wanting to respond to people's needs or whatever it happens to be, here's the first question. Have you ever experienced disappointment of not receiving something that every nature or every natural indication would have you told you that your expectations were realistic and reasonable? I mean, you dropped a few hints for your husband that you wanted certain something for Christmas, and everything seemed like it was all cool, and the day came and it wasn't there. How did you feel? And I really want to examine it more from the level of just the carnal level of, boy, cheapskate or whatever you want to call them. But the deal behind it, but there's something about trying to mask your real responses, the disappointment that's there, because there's no reason why it couldn't happen. It wasn't a lack of money. It's just somehow they didn't produce. Hold on to that for a moment, because question number two kind of dovetails in some way to that. Secondly, have you ever expressed a need for something only to be disappointed with no response? Wow. Someone says, "Could you pick up such and such for me?" And they don't say anything, just kind of like you didn't say anything. There's something about it that it doesn't register well with us, especially when we think people understand what we're saying or there's no reason for this not to be fulfilled. But the last one, I think, will kind of seal the deal for us. Do you wrestle with the statement of Jesus' declaration that giving far supersedes receiving? And here's the part that I think that the Lord's going to tease out of us today, because somehow, even though we'll say it, even though we've heard it, it's more blessed to give than receive. We don't believe it. We really don't. Because the deal with that is, if we really believed it, why don't we do more of what Jesus said? Amen. And we can give a whole bunch of excuses. But today, they're on the chopping block. We're going to look at some of the things about us, myself included, that would preclude us from giving in the way that Jesus desires for us to do it. We're going to start off with the idea of overcoming the curse of deceptive giving. What's that? It's a new theology I created. Deceptive giving. You can sign up in the foyer if you'd like to be a part. No. Matthew 21, verse 19. And seeing the fig tree, we're going back to this, he came and he found it, and there was nothing on it but leaves, and said to it, "Let no fruit grow on you ever again." And immediately the fig tree withered away. You're thinking, what is wrong with Jesus? What's his problem? I think if you just examine this, he sees it, but there was nothing on it but leaves. And you know what? Some of us sit here week after week and there ain't nothing on us but leaves. And a bunch of leaves out there, just kind of, whoo, in the green. Now, I must tell you, it takes faith for me to preach on fig trees. I don't like figs. I've never liked figs. We had a fig tree in our backyard in my house over at 1618 Southeast. Hopefully, they cut it down by now. But that tree was in our backyard. And when it came time to produce figs, oh, it produced figs. They were everywhere. Ever stepped on a fig in your bare feet? It's like stepping on worms or on a slug. They're slimy, they're messy. I mean, God, I know you created figs. Some people like fig Newtons. I can't figure it out, but they do. But let's talk about this from the practical standpoint. The laws of nature are connected with the kingdom of God. Jesus was hungry, and he came to a fig tree. And I want to let you know that when God creates things, he has something in mind, but here's Jesus, the Son of God, and he's just coming up to this fig tree, and I like it when the Bible says something that's so profound. He's hungry. Ever been hungry and try to look for something to eat, and nothing seems to be quite, and the very thing you don't like is what's there? Oh, come on. Be real. You don't care at that particular point. Hey, I don't care. I'm going to have me some. Even though it's not your favorite. But consider this. It was reasonable for him to expect to have his hunger ministered to, because the way that fig trees work, they get big leaves on there, and all of a sudden, out come the figs. There's nothing. Well, consider this. The tree only offered him leaves, even though it had developed in every way with leaves that would denote that fruit was available. Unfortunately, as believers, sometimes we're that way. People come to us, we're to represent where there's life, and they get nothing from us. But there's every reason why they should. Oh boy. Well, can you consider this? The seasons of our life. And the first season, I think that the first thing that we have as far as life is concerned is that the way that lives go is they're sowing. And I'm going to do something on the parable of sowing next year, but the whole idea is there's something's been sowed into the life of this fig tree. Somebody planted a seed at some point. And there was sowing into it, and then there was the opportunity for there to be sowed there. Then there was cultivation of the fig tree. I don't know who cultivated or how, whether it was just naturally done in the process. But the end result was to be that there was going to be a reaping someday. Somebody's going to have some fruit. But it never happened. Can I ask you a very important question? Who has sowed into your life the Word of God, resources, this type of thing? You've cultivated those things, and now we're at a point where you should be producing something, and you're producing nothing. You have nothing to, here's the word, four-letter word, give. Is that really true? Well, how about this? Jesus cursed the tree because it was not fulfilling its assigned purpose. And I want to tell you today, if something's been sowed into your life, the end result is that you should have something to give today. He said, well, the offering's already went by. I'm going to get back past the offering thing, and I'll come back to it later, okay? You're safe for a moment. But let's just talk about the time that was put into your life of someone who was spending time with you and loving you and taking care of you and all these other type of things, only to have you to be able to do that for someone else. I remember as a young kid, I really appreciate the fact my mom and my dad were really good to me, especially my mom. And I had an opportunity when I was young in life that there was this lady that lived in this house. She was an older lady. She was probably in her 70s or 80s. Sister Rose, my sister's here today. She would verify this story. She was an older lady. She lived in the house next door to the church, and she didn't have anyone to take care of her. And so she lived alone. And something within me, because of what was sown into my life, is that every day after school, I'd ride my bike from the school over to her house. I'd knock on her door, and I'd find out, did she need anything from the store? Here I am, a kid, probably 10, 11 years old. And that was the first place. Instead of going this way to my house, I went that way to her house. Then I go to the grocery store, pick up something for her. And I did that for probably many weeks. She got a little bit older. And then there was an opportunity that she couldn't make her food. And I said, well, I can fry eggs. I can boil them, fry them. No, I was a little better than that, but. And so then the deal was I'd come by her house and I'd make dinner for her, make a little something for her. Do you know why that happened? It wasn't because I'm such a great kid, but somebody did it for me. And somehow I was saying, well, you know, I can give back to her something she cannot do for herself. There's something within us, if you don't fight it, there's a desire in all of us to be able to give because of what's been sowed into us. Let's get on a little bit further with this. Well, so it's not unrealistic for Jesus to expect fruit. Leaves were indicated there that you could expect fruit. But it was the right season for the tree to be productive. I want to tell you right now, this is the right season for you to be productive. Not just because it's Christmas. Now, some of you, it takes Christmas to get you out of your stingy self. But you're still looking for a bargain. Going with that, the tree was designed to produce fruit and to give it to those who desired to partake of its purpose. Well, let's talk about purpose. The tree received nourishment from the ground. Every single one of us have received nourishment from the kingdom of God, from Jesus. All of us have. You wouldn't be here today if there had been, the Lord had nourished even the desire for you to come to church. That's been nourished somehow. What about this? The tree received sunlight to produce photosynthesis, or to produce something that was happening in your life. You know, the thing I really is amazing about God, the Bible says he rains on the just and the unjust too, which means there's times you were rained upon in your life and you didn't deserve it. Can I get an amen? Amen. But he gave it to you anyway. He says, you know what? No sunshine for you today. No. It's going to be sunshine in everybody's house, but it's going to be dark on your side of the street. God has been sowing into your life all the time, irregardless of the way that you've treated other folks. The end result was to be the production of fruit to be given to whoever needed it. The problem with me and with you is we sometimes decide whether or not that person deserves what we have to offer. Some of you are getting it, the rest of you are marinating. Well, let's look at it a little further. When we defraud people by not producing according to our purpose, we will forfeit our ability to be used. Can I say it again? When we defraud people by not producing according to our purpose. My question to you, what is your purpose? Well, I want to have a good family. I want to have a good retirement. I want to be able to take care of myself for the rest of my life. And then I think everything will be fine. Really, it's all about YOU. Or could it be, perhaps, that God has designed for you to produce something to be able to give to others beyond yourself? Yes. And that's what we're going to talk about, is the idea, is that there's a grace that belongs in giving. And so it goes like this. So when we defraud people of our purpose, Jesus cursed the tree to prevent it from future deception. He says, your day of giving the false symbolism that there's produce on you, he says, you're done. What? He cursed the fig tree, and it's over. Now, I wonder, what would happen if Jesus all of a sudden said, you know what? I am so done with you. I've given you all the opportunity. I'm pulling the plug. Would he ever do that? I'm not here to threaten anybody. That's not my point. But what about this? His pronouncement of judgment should be a warning to us to maintain purity in who we are and offer what we have to give to those who are, and here's what Jesus was, hungry. Now, let me get real with you today. This place should be filled with people. You say, what? Why do you say that? But you know why they're not here? You didn't invite them. How dare you? You didn't invite them. He said, I'm going to go get me something to eat, and if you eat, that's fine. If you don't, that's too bad. I believe that Jesus wants us to be able to, there are people in the world that are hungry to hear what you hear every week, and you never invite them. And you know what the problem is? I found this out. We're afraid of a two-letter word called no. We're afraid of it. Statistically proven. If you invite, sincerely invite, four people, one of them will say yes. But you can't get past two. Oh, that's not. My heart was broken. They told me no. Oh, you have to go into therapy. Let me move on. The greatest gifts we can give are those that are given to meet a need. And I believe the whole city, there are people that we see on a regular basis that need Jesus. All you get to do is give to them. Well, because we need to give, and this is back to the scripture in Acts 20:35. Look at it again. He says, I have shown you in every way, this is Paul talking, by laboring like this, that you must support the weak, okay? And remember the words of the Lord Jesus that he said, it's more blessed to give than to receive. Look that up in the New Testament and find out where Jesus said it. It's not there. What? How's he quoting something that John or that Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John didn't write down? And he says, but when he said it's more blessed to give to receive, so he's quoting something that nobody wrote it down. There's something interesting about that whole principle. When he said it's more blessed to give than to receive. It's one thing to write it down, but it's another thing to live it. It was written down, certainly it was at some point, because obviously he's quoting it. But the thing that Jesus wants us to do is to live it as a lifestyle action of who we are. That we find more of a blessing in giving than we do in receiving. Wow. The transformation of this is going to be great when we just kind of digest this whole idea. So when we suppress the need to give, we resist the work of the Holy Spirit in our hearts. Okay, brace yourselves. Have you ever had a desire to give and suppressed it? Don't answer. Because the answer is yes. I'm not talking about the homeless person on the street corner. I'm talking about someone that somehow it wasn't, you know, it wasn't from you, but you know somehow the Lord just kind of laid this on your heart that you ought to give such and such to so and so. And you just kind of wrestle, well, I don't know. You know, I don't know how they'll feel about it. I don't want them to make things, you know, you go back and forth. And you know what happened? What the end result is? You didn't do anything. It was out of fear sometimes of, well, I don't want to be misunderstood, or I don't want to think that, you know, and go on and on and on. But you know what? It's more blessed to give than to receive. And if you somehow are so afraid that it may not turn out well for you, You're more encompassed in who you or what you think than what the other need may be. Interesting. How about this? Giving is the only thing that will free us from selfishness. I said, giving is the only thing that will free you from selfishness. I'm not going to. I said. Because I get a few people going, yeah, I know. And the rest of you sitting there, just let him move on. I see you are steeped in your selfish self. Because every single one of us in this room, myself at the top of the list, I'll go to the top, I don't care, are selfish. I'm not selfish. I just can't wait to give. Really? Let me go to the next point and then I'll circle around. Giving will produce godliness and freedom from greed. Do you want to be godly? And we said, yeah. Learn to operate with the spirit of giving in your life. It was many years ago. I think it had to be at least 40 or 50 years ago. And a guest preacher was at our church. And he says, I want you to pray for something that you've always really wanted. Just pray that God would give it to you. He says, but I want you to extend your prayer that once you get it, that you have the grace to give it to someone else. How many people prayed that prayer? Not many. Once I got, no, honey, this is mine. You get yours. It's like somebody, you know, I mean, I like cool cars. Maseratis are cool. I know you agree. Maseratis are very cool. I couldn't afford to have one. But if I got one, I wouldn't turn it down. I'd find some way. I'd get me a second job, but I'd support my Maserati. But God bless you if you want to ride my Maserati. I'll have you take your shoes off and put on stockings. Jesus, I'm revealing myself. But that's kind of how we are. Well, bringing an offering that makes a difference. I'm going to get to this next part in Mark chapter 12, verses 41 through 43. Here we go. Now, Jesus sat opposite the treasury and saw how the people put money into the treasury. And many who were rich put in much. Then one poor widow came and threw in two mites, which makes a quadrant. So he called his disciples to himself and said to them, surely I say to you that this poor widow has put in more than all those who have given to the treasury. You can go on to the next verse, I think. Is it coming up? Well, that's okay. Don't worry about that for the moment, because we'll get into it in just a second. So, there's a great joy when we discover that God is our provider. Giving can only be initiated when we are able to move past ourselves and express gratitude to the Lord. So anyway, when we realize that worship and giving are inseparable, we will discover the grace of giving. Now, if you just gave money to the church today and you gave a tithe or whatever it happens to be, I'll get into that in a moment. But if there's somehow within you, you didn't find that worship, you missed it. What? It's worship. But unfortunately, the people that came on this particular occasion, they didn't really see it that way. It was a time to flaunt and some time to show your ability that's far beyond others. When we realize that worship and giving are inseparable, we'll discover the grace of giving, but we will discover untold freedom once we allow ourselves to fall in love with giving. Got a little illustration for you. We bring up that little thing that I want to show you, the little envelope thing, please. There we go. Hope you can read that. At the top of this, it says, New Song, Please Print. This was in March 23rd, 1997. This gift was given by Perry Simpson, and this gives her address there. And inside that envelope, which I've never opened it, is one penny. On the backside of the envelope, she wrote these words, "I'm poor, sorry." I've kept that all these years. I'll probably never open that envelope. But I met the little girl who gave that to us. And there was something about it that changed my life forever. She put her name, she put her address, she put the amount, but on the back she says, "I'm sorry, I'm poor." So I just talked to the little girl. I said, she says, "Well, that's all the money that I had, but I wanted to give something to Jesus. And this is all I got." That's not to shame you, but she, within herself, could not suppress the desire to give. The Bible says, except you become like a little child, you'll never see the kingdom of God. Some of us, we think, oh, if I get greater gifts to God, God's going to love me. No, he's not. Not anymore than that girl that gave a penny. Because there's something inside of us that has been suppressed by the world that'll keep us from really getting to a place of really loving God. Now, this next little part I'll say in the next few minutes will probably scathe a few of us, but it's okay. We'll live. Tithing is actually a test as to whether or not we will steal from God. Malachi chapter 3, verse 8 through 10. Some of you have ripped that out of your Bible and disposed of it. I'm going to help you. "Will a man rob God? Yet you say, yet you have robbed me, but I say, in what way, in what way have I robbed you?" And he says, "In tithes and offerings." Just leave it right there for a moment. You may not like this, but when you don't tithe, you're stealing. What? I'll never come back to New Song again. Then folks over there, they all say, "One of your money." No. I'm trying to keep you from stealing. Yeah. If somebody came over to your house and helped themselves to everything you had, or to something that you had, or this took 10% of you had, you'd be mad as a wet hen. No, don't get a hen wet. It's not good. Let's see. Oh, I got to continue on. "You are cursed with a curse, for you have robbed me, even this whole nation." Go down to verse 10, then I'll stop for a moment. "Bring all the tithes to the storehouse, that there may be food in my house, and try me in this, says the Lord of hosts, if I will not open the windows of heaven and pour out for you a blessing, that there will not be room enough to receive it." Now, just leave that up there for a moment. That is the only scripture in the Bible where God says, "Try me." It's the only one. What? You know why? Because it's the scariest one for us. Because if I give God 10% of my money and I don't really, you know, it doesn't work. I could bring people up here on this stage, but I won't do it, who could not afford to tithe, that somehow God miraculously, beyond what you could explain, brought resources to them beyond what they gave, and he took care of them. I got a word from you. Stop stealing. What? I mean it. Test God. This is the only place where God says, "Test me." The only place. Now, here's the other folks. Here's you real sanctimonious folks. That's the Old Testament. We're under the New Covenant, where it's grace, grace, grace. Greasy grace. And just slide into the kingdom in Jesus' name. So don't put that heavy-handed stuff on me, preacher. I read the Bible. You are cursed! When we give to the Lord, we recognize that the Lord is our ultimate provider. Can I get an amen? Amen. Who gave you that job in the first place? I applied for it, and they looked at my resume, and they had to hire me. Really? You believe that? Honey, you have been skipped over many times, and they should have skipped you that time if you really believe that type of nonsense. Because you are not that great. In Jesus' name. The greater joy occurs when we give an offering over the above tithing. You want to get really blessed? Give an offering over your tithe. That's when you get blessed. What? I already gave 10%. 11% is just out of the question. Whatever. I'm going to move through this. But here's the part that is really interesting. I think we go on with this story here with the widow who participates in this. And hopefully they have the scripture that goes along with this. I don't know where they put it in Mark. It goes down a little bit further. Mark chapter 12. I'll go there real quickly because I don't want you to miss this from the Word of God. Okay. And 41. All right. Here we go. And he calls his disciples, in verse 41 it says, and Jesus sat opposite the treasury and saw the people giving their giving. And the poor widow came and threw in her two mites, which was about a quadrant. And then he says, so he called his disciples to himself and he says, assuredly I say to you, this poor woman has put in more than all those who have given in the treasury. For they put in out of their abundance, but she out of her poverty, in all that she had, her whole livelihood. Now, do not interpret that for me to say to you, until you give up everything you have, you're not going to be holy. That is not what I'm saying. What he's addressing is a people who flaunted the idea because they had, you know, they had great jobs and, you know, worked for Microsoft, made, you know, $600,000 a year and all this other type of thing. Said, well, I think I'll give $10,000 today. I think it's just weighty in my pockets. So what? Some people say, oh my goodness, who could afford to give money like that? It's no big deal. The other side of the equation are those people who evangelize, you need to give till it hurts. I say give until it doesn't hurt. Yeah, amen. Because if there's hurt there, you haven't given. Because when there's hurt there, you're the provider and God isn't. Pretty simple. Well, when we give to Jesus, it's a pretty amazing thing. Well, let me just finish this up for today and we'll continue next week. And I expect you to invite your friends. And so instead of you staying home saying, he's going to talk about giving again. No, you come. Bring your friends. Okay. Jesus acknowledged the widow's gift as true worship. Again, worship and giving are inseparable. If we desire to worship the Lord in our giving, we must always bring our best. Best. Back in the Old Covenant Testament times, when they bring a sacrificial lamb, it had to be without blemish. It wasn't some broke-down lamb that was, you know, diseased. Oh, give this one to God. He's going to die anyway. Worship will always require sacrifice in order to be complete. Now, let me give you a definition of sacrifice. Some people feel as though sacrifice means that you have to put yourself in jeopardy and not pay your mortgage. That'd be a real sacrifice. Then God would honor me. That you may get a late notice, and they may come take you out of your house. See, when you try to play this game with God, it doesn't work. When you try to manipulate things into your advantage, God's smarter than you. The grace of giving occurs when we release ourselves from the captivity to what we own. And as the choir comes back up here, I'm going to do this little installment and finish it this way by saying, the widow did not desire to be recognized for her giving. But all the other guys are coming around, they're giving their little stuff and the type of thing. They're kind of jingling their money bags. And she basically puts in her two mites And she walks away. There's something really available by the Holy Spirit today for those of you who say, well, how are you going to turn this message on giving around to really touching people's lives where they can give themselves to God? Amen. The number one gift that God wants from you is you. Amen. Once you give yourself to God, he's got all that you really, truly own. Until you give yourself to God, it won't work. Amen. So, giving all she had was a display of trust in God and that she was worshiping. And I believe today God wants us to really put our lives totally in his hands. And that's a scary thing for some of us to do because, you know, if you ever faced poverty before, some of you have made a vow, I will never be broke again. Now I got some money in the bank, I ain't never going to be broke again. You give all these little vows as far as that's concerned. And so somehow you've been captivated by something that you feel like you're in control of that you'll never have control over. Try to control yourself when sickness comes along. Amen. Tell yourself, oh, I'm not gonna catch the flu. Flu will catch you. So don't make these crazy little statements. Here's the deal. She had given away everything that she possessed. And you know, I would think to believe that she probably thought nobody noticed. But I want to let you know, Jesus notices everything that you do. Amen. In faith unto him. Because he says, you know what? I may only have a penny, but God's been so good to me. I'm going to put myself totally in his hands. Everybody bow your heads. Everybody close your eyes. There's something the Holy Spirit wants to do to people today. And I want you to, at this next moment, I want you to forget about money. Take money off the table. Take it off the table. I want to talk about you and about your surrender to Jesus. We're at the season of the year where many people, matter of fact, a couple weeks ago, I think it was on a Tuesday, we had a Giving Tuesday for nonprofits and this type of thing, and people just felt really good about giving money to organizations and different groups of people. And it wasn't even, when I saw the amount of money, they said, oh, we collected, oh, about $700 million. Really? Do you know how much people spend on the internet just buying stuff? Billions and billions and billions of dollars. There's something wrong when we aren't willing to abandon ourselves to God and trust him with the outcome. As I pray this morning, I want to install something in your heart, if you'll make room for it, for you to trust God with the greatest thing that you think that you own. Well, really, it's not so much that you own, but it's something that God has given to you freely. It's called your will. He won't take it from you, but he's entrusted it to you. And I'm praying today that there will be people in this house today that would say, Jesus, I've done it my way too long. Remember, we're not talking about money. We're talking about you. And you're willing to surrender yourselves into the hands of God and saying, God, this whole idea about the grace of giving is, I want to give you everything that I am. And when I do that, you're going to allow me to enter into your kingdom in a new way. Listen to as I pray. Father, in Jesus' name, for men and women that are here today that really need to know, that really need to understand, that really need to embrace the grace of giving. Lord, I pray that they would bring themselves to the altar of not so much sacrifice, but the altar of just abandoning themselves to believe you for the very greatest that would happen in their lives. But there are people that will go through the Christmas season and they may won't have some place to go, they won't have people to spend time with, but Lord, Christmas is more than the stuff we get. The most appropriate thing is for us to know that we've given all that we are to Jesus, and he, through that particular giving, has already given all that he has for us. With heads and with bowed and with eyes closed, you're here today and you're saying, you know something, Pastor, that emptiness that I've been fighting for a long period of time. But today I'm willing to say, to trust Jesus with everything that I am. I'm not talking about the money thing. I'm just talking about everything that I am. And I'm trusting Jesus to the Holy Spirit to work out any selfishness, any greed that's in my life. But there's somehow in me today, I want to give myself to Jesus. I want to trust him with me. Because I haven't done such a great job so far. I may struggle with various things in this world. But somehow I have faith to believe that Jesus can take care of that. If you're here that you feel that way, I want you to just lift your hand and say, yep, that's me. I really want to do that. God bless you. God bless you. Somebody else says, I'm going to do that. Yeah, that's right. Anybody else says, I need to do that today. Just lift your hand. That Lord, you would just put us into that place where we really recognize how much we need you. And Lord, we offer ourselves a living sacrifice to you today, a surrender of an offering that is irreversible. That you would just take us as we are and refine us by your Holy Spirit. And Lord, just what I said a few moments ago, Lord God, that each one of us have an opportunity to share the goodness of your love, that Lord, that we'll not be afraid of no, and we'll talk to those four people, and one of those people we'll bring to the house of God that they may experience what we experience. Because Lord, that's what we really need to do. Be an offering, a living offering to you. But thank you, Lord, for what we've learned today. Thank you for your grace. We give all glory to you in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. See you next week.
Thank you for listening today. We pray that you have been blessed by listening to the message. You are welcome to celebrate with us in worship and the Word every Sunday at 10 a.m. If you have a prayer need, we welcome you to submit it through our website. We'd love to pray for you. Will you consider supporting us with your prayer and financial gifts? God bless you.